God of the dirtied hands, the wandering feet, you seek out the lost before they ever turn to you. Take us with you to the abandoned places to find a new community outside our fortress walls. Through Jesus Christ, the searching one. Amen. Amen. There's this incredible thing that happens when you realize that God has been searching for you. Several years back, I had dinner with a sociologist, a pastor, and well-known speaker named Tony Campolo. We had invited Tony to come and spend some time with the church I was serving as we explored what it meant for us to search out the lost sheep, the lost coin in our midst. And as a church, we are committing ourselves to some of the things that Calvary has recently been exploring. What it means to seek, to know, and to unconditionally share God's unfailing love. Well, we're talking about doing this with Tony, and we're having dinner at this fancy restaurant on the beach. And I'm thinking, yeah, right. We're not going to find any lost sheep in a place like this. And so Tony starts saying, well, I have a story that'll connect, that I'll tell you. It's about this time I flew to Hawaii for a conference, and I'm going, oh, geez, this guy's going to tell us how to minister to the unfortunate in Hawaii. And that's when he later told us the story. The way he tells it, he checks into his hotel as he's landed in Honolulu. He's trying to get some sleep, but he's coming from the Eastern time zone, so he wakes up at 3 a.m. and he's hungry. So he goes into this diner that's in an alley. It's a dive. He goes in, he sees the only seats are the benches at the counter. So he goes in and sits at one of the seats at the bench on the counter and finds this plastic menu that he doesn't even want to touch. You know exactly what I'm talking about, right? One that's caked with the grease and the sugar, and if you open it, you don't know what's going to spill out onto the floor. And this fat guy walks in to the other side of the counter in his greasy apron, puts his cigar out, and says, "What do you want?" So Tony says, well, I guess I'll have a black coffee and a donut. He's thinking that's the safest bet. And this guy pours the coffee and he does this. And then he picks up the donut and hands it to Tony. So Tony's sitting there munching on his dirty donut, sipping his coffee at about 3:30 a.m. and in walk 8 or 9 provocative, loud prostitutes who've just finished their night's work. They plop down at the counter, and Tony finds himself uncomfortably surrounded by this group of smoking, swearing hookers. He gulps his coffee. He's planning to make a quick getaway. And the woman next to him says to her friend, "You know what? Tomorrow's my birthday. I'm going to be 39. To which her friend replies, "So what do you want from me? Sing happy birthday? You're going to be 39? Huh? What do you want me to do? Get you a cake? Throw you a party?" And the first woman says, "Ah, come on. I'm just saying it's my birthday. Why do you have to hurt my feelings?" She says, "I've never had a birthday party in my whole life. Why should I have one now?" Well, when Tony heard that, he made a decision. He sat, he waited till the women left, and he asked the fat guy at the counter, "Do they come in here every night?" "Yeah," he answered. "The one next to me," he said, "she comes in every night." "Yeah," he said, "that's Agnes. She comes here every night. She's been coming here for years. What do you want to know?" "Because she said tomorrow's her birthday. What do you say we decorate this place? And when she comes in tomorrow night, what do you think we could throw a little birthday party for her right here in the diner?" And he grabbed Tony's hand and he said, "Mister, that's beautiful." He turns to the kitchen and he shouts to his wife, "Hey, Jane, come on out here. This guy's got a great idea. Tomorrow's Agnes's birthday, and he wants to throw a party for her right here. And his wife comes out and says, "That's brilliant. You know, nobody does anything for Agnes, and she's one of the good people in this town. And I know what she does to make money, but she's a good person, and I'll make the cake." And the other guy, we find out his name's Harry, he says, No, the cake's my job." They make their plans. Tony says he'll be back at 2:30 the next morning with some decorations. And Harry says, "I've got the cake." 2:30 the next morning, Tony's back. He's gone to Kmart in Honolulu to get some crepe paper and other decorations, and he's made a sign out of big pieces of cardboard that says, "Happy Birthday, Agnes." They decorate the place from one end to the other and get it looking great. Jane, who did the cooking, had gotten out the word on the streets about the party, and by 3:15, it seems that every prostitute in Honolulu is squeezed into this diner. And Tony! He remembers there were hookers from wall to wall, and me! At 3:30 on the dot, the door swings open, and in walks Agnes and her friends. And Tony has everybody ready. And they all shout and scream, "Happy birthday, Agnes!" They're cheering like mad, and Agnes is absolutely flabbergasted. She's stunned. Her mouth hangs open, her knees start to buckle, she almost falls over. And they start singing, "Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday to you." And when the birthday cake with all the candles is carried out, that's when she totally loses it. At this point, she's sobbing and crying. And Harry, who's not used to seeing a prostitute cry, mumbles, "Blow out the candles, Agnes. Cut the cake." So she pulls herself together, she blows out the candles, and everyone cheers and yells, "Cut the cake, Agnes, cut the cake." But Agnes looks at the cake, and without taking her eyes off of it, slowly, softly, she says, "Look, mister, is it all right with you? What I want to ask is it okay if I keep the cake and go and show it to my mother?" Tony doesn't know what to say, so he shrugs and he says, "Sure, if that's what you want to do, keep the cake. Take it home if you want." "Oh, could I?" Tony, she's looking at him. She said, "I just lived down the street, a couple of doors. I want to take the cake home. Is that okay? I'll be right back, honest." Agnes gets off her stool, picks up the cake, and carries it high in front of her as if it were the Holy Grail. She pushes her way through the crowd and out the door. And as the door swings shut, there's complete silence. Dead silence. Tony said, "Talk about an awkward silence." All of them are just standing there, stunned. Tony doesn't know what to say, so he just sputters into the silence, "What do you say that we pray?" And there they are, this hole in the wall, greasy spoon, half the prostitutes in Honolulu at 3:30 in the morning, listening to Tony Campolo as he prays for Agnes. For her life, her health, for her salvation. Tony recalls, "I prayed that God would deliver her from what filthy men had done to her, probably starting when she was too young to even know what was going on. And that God would make her new. Because we are here to declare the good news. And no matter where you've been or what you've done, Jesus will make you new." And when he's finished, Harry leans over and says, "Hey, Campolo, you told us you were a sociologist. You're a preacher. What kind of church you preaching? And one of those moments where just the right words came, Tony answers him quietly. I preach in a church that throws birthday parties for whores at 3:30 in the morning. And Tony said he'll never forget his response. No, you don't. No, you don't. I would join a church like that. Wouldn't we all? That's the kind of church Jesus came to create. Jesus came so that people would start bringing parties to those who have no parties. Celebrations into the lives of people who have nothing to celebrate. Tony once famously said, if all you've got to offer is some soup and some clothes, it's not enough. Jesus said, I came that my joy might be in you, and that your joy might be full. And we've got to do more than just give them bread and clothes. We've got to bring love and joy into their lives. Here we are, a church that began as people who gathered 175 years ago in what used to be a place apart, a place on a hill where only those could afford it traveled up an incline to an idyllic getaway. Here we are, a church on a hill surrounded by people hungry, not just for bread and clothes, but for love and joy. And we can feed that love and joy. We can feed them. There are people in this church who are going out and registering people to vote in our local jail, and they know how to help you do that. There are people in this church who are going into the local public schools and volunteering their time, and they can help you do that. Jesus comes not just to the lost places in our hearts, but leads us to the lost people and places in this world. And it looks like a birthday party for Agnes. Amen.